Tonight, if we'll open up 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will, and we'll be there in just a moment finishing up the book of Timothy tonight. Lord willing, I believe the Lord is leading me to preach, teach, or a combination of the two, the end time events in order, all right? People, everything's going on. There's a lot of confusion. I'm amazed at some of the things that are taught about the end times. They are far removed from Scripture. So far removed from Scripture that it's just mind-boggling. So I don't know that that's going to start, but I think I'm going to do it on Wednesday night, okay? And we can take our time and go through it, and I'm not definitely sure I'll start next Wednesday night, but we'll preach on something next Wednesday night, all right? So if you'll be here, and I hope you will. For those of you that listen in by way of YouTube, we do apologize. We really had problems last Sunday, and I understand the quality sound was not good, but they're working on it, all right, doing their best, and If we don't get it fixed, if it's not fixed tonight, we're still going to keep working, all right? And I appreciate those of you who listen in faithfully. I appreciate your patience with that. And by the way, I appreciate you letting us know when things are kind of goofy, all right? I really do appreciate that very much. All right, you're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You will look at verse 17. The Bible says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." We come to the end of this letter that Paul wrote under the inspiration of God, wrote it to Timothy, and instead of merely signing off, you know, like we do today with sincerely, yours truly, with love, or see you, however you sign off your letters, all right? Paul instead admonishes Timothy. He gives him a charge and he gives him a challenge before he comes there and says, "Grace be with thee," all right? So I want to preach to you on that charge and the challenge that he gives, all right? And they're good for us to examine. They're good for us to imitate, emulate in our life. You say, "I'm not a preacher." Okay. Good for you. You may not be a pastor, but you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, you're a child of God. Hey, there's a right way to live. There's a right way to view folks in this world. There's a right way to deal with things. There's a right way to occupy your time, all right? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. First, the charge, all right? He gives that in verse 17, "Charge them that are rich." Charge them that are rich in this world. Now, I know our tendency is to go, "Well, he ain't talking to me because I'm not rich." Well, maybe so, maybe not. Just depends on who's looking. Just depends on how it's viewed. I dare say this, if I could go back 100 years and let my grandparents from 100 years ago see the way we live today, my grandparents say, "You folks are rich. You folks are rich." Hey, they didn't have, 100 years ago, my grandparents lived in a house that didn't have running water. So how do you know? Because about 63 years ago when I was a little boy, I remember the house that had no running water. Amen. And they were still living there. They didn't have all that stuff. They didn't have the conveniences that we have today. They'd look at us and they'd say, "You folks are rich." a host of people in this world. Hey, we're better off than a huge chunk and a huge percentage of people in the world today. We really are. The truth is, we might be richer than we think, you know? We just might be richer than we think. Now, I know we're not rich in the sense that this world thinks of riches, all right? Most of you people are not sitting on a multi-million-dollar bank account, okay? Just Brother Marion, all right? The rest of us, we're not sitting on that multi-million-dollar bank account. You're not going home tonight in a Rolls Royce with a chauffeur, okay? I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, we look at it, boy, God's been good to us. And we really have to be careful. No, I don't consider myself rich in this world's goods. But we still have to be careful, all right? By the way, could I point this out? Paul's not attacking the wealthy. We live in a day sometimes where I think the wealthy have become a target. I don't have a problem with that. The Bible, we've got a church member that has got some family that is very well off, live in a very expensive section of Dallas. I know them personally, talk to them. Don't envy them at all, but I'm glad God has blessed them. That is a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But I'm not buttering up to them trying to get in the wheel, okay? I have, just the other day I was thinking, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to ask him, would you remember me in your will? At least put in there, say, hey, Brother Marlon, how's it going? You know, that'd be sufficient. I'd be happy. And I would be, you know. And I'm glad there's people like that. But wait a minute, I don't attack folks like that. I'm not mad at people that are wealthy. Hey, if you can fly in a private jet, you don't make me envious. I don't look at you and go, ain't fair you getting that. Hey, this is not an attack on the wealthy. The Bible doesn't condemn folks who are in a good financial position, okay? It'll just point that out to you. It's not. It doesn't do it. But it is a warning. It is a warning. And it's an admonishment to, you better be careful that you consider more than riches. And I'll say this to every child of God today. We need to be careful we consider more than the bottom line on our bank account. We need to be careful. And that's what the Lord's saying to them. Hey, it's seemingly very easy for those that are rich to get the idea that they're somehow better than other people. That's why the scripture says that they be not high-minded. Don't get a bigger, you know, an overinflated sense of yourself, okay? Don't get that point where you think, man, you know, you get puffed up, you get proud, and you look down on people. Now, a lot, some rich people do. Some rich people do. As a matter of fact, usually, if you hear somebody talking about a very, very wealthy individual who doesn't do that, that almost seems to be unique. And we talk about it and say, yeah, so-and-so, man, they're just wealthy. They got money everywhere. But, man, they just like a regular old person. And a lot of people do. They get puffed up. They get rich. And they get an overinflated sense of themselves, all right? The Bible warns us, all right? Hey, you need to remember this, all right? What you've got, the Bible said in verse 13, it's God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What you've got, God's given you. What you've got, God's given you. I've said it before from this pulpit. Sometimes I think God knows he can't trust some of us with a lot of money, so he won't let us have it, all right? And you got to be careful about it. But hey, man, whatever you have, God's blessed you with it. God's enriched you with that, and he's done it. And you ought to be extremely careful, man. That rich crowd needs to be extremely careful that they don't take the credit. That they don't say, look at me, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Remember what happened to old Nebuchadnezzar there in the book of Daniel? He got to bragging on how good things he had done and how wonderful it was, and God said, I can fix that. And he took him, man, boy, he took him down, made him like an animal. And even out in the grass, eating grass. Listen, God can take care of that kind of thing. So Paul is telling Timothy, you charge them that are rich that they be not high-minded. They be not high-minded. Hey, if we had a multimillionaire in our church and a member of our church, and I say this to you, you ought to be treated just like everybody else. And he shouldn't want any more privilege than anybody else. Not a bit. Not a bit. Hey, you be careful, the Bible said. Hey, the Bible, but then it goes even further, okay? Because I think this is where the problem gets even worse. Notice what it says, that he said, you charge them, all right, that they be not high-minded. But then he said, nor trust in uncertain riches. Oh, mercy. Man, the Bible's real plain. Don't trust in riches. Don't trust in money. Don't put your trust in wealth. It even uses the word uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. And you say, well, I don't have to worry about it. Wait a minute. I think we do have to worry about it. I think we do have to worry about it. I think a lot of people put too much trust in their retirement funds. And they put too much trust in laying up for whatever. And we get to the point where we think, man, I'm over in the book of Revelation, it talks about the church that said, hey, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't have need of anything. Well, that's about the worst thing could happen to us, you know? What a terrible tragedy that would be if we ever got to the point individually, if, man, I'm okay, I don't need anything. I'm going to do like that fella in the Bible where he said, man, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build big, bigger ones, bring in the harvest, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to relax, and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to enjoy all of this that I've got. The Bible said, tonight thy soul be required of thee. Hey, we have to be careful, all right? We have to be careful. I'll be honest with you. I always get nervous when my bank account begins to grow. Because history has proven, personal life history has proven, it grows and then something happens. Bam! Somebody's in the hospital. Car wipes out, you know. Remember one time we had a van, we were driving along, all of a sudden we weren't driving along. He said, what do you mean? I mean, transmission just quit. Bam, no warning, nothing, it was gone. Hey, so when the bank account begins to grow, I begin to think, what's fixing to happen? All right? Something bound to be fixing to happen. So I'll be on the lookout for it. Hey, don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in uncertain riches. The truth of the matter is fortunes can be wiped out in a heartbeat. Boy, they can be wiped out so quickly. And that's one of the good things, reading history, reading about people. Man, they were immensely wealthy, and then all of a sudden, they weren't wealthy anymore. They weren't wealthy anymore. I read the account of a fellow who owned a very, very, very rich gold mine in Colorado, in Telluride, Colorado. And he died, left it all to his daughter. And in this book, it tells how she went through it just like that. Just like that. Hey, it's uncertain. It's uncertain. By the way, we ought to remember this. There's a lot of things money can't buy. There's just so much money cannot buy. All right? It truthfully, it can't buy love. Now, it can buy people to hang around you and say I love you, but it doesn't buy love. It can't buy a real friend. Can't buy a real friend. I've got a friend that he's been blessed financially, and he's pretty well off. I wouldn't call him rich, but he's well off. And every time he talked to me on the phone, he always said, now, is there anything you need? No, man, I'm doing good. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Well, if you need anything, you let me know. A little bit, I want to ask him, what interest are you going to charge, though? No, I didn't. But, you know, hey, that's not the purpose of life. You can't buy a real friend. You can't buy it. You can't buy health. You cannot buy health. Now, you can have the best health insurance in the world. You can have the best doctor in the world, but you can't buy health. You just cannot do it. God gives you that. Hey, you can't buy 1 minute longer of life. Not even an instant. And all of those things are people, are things that people are interested in. You can't buy satisfaction. Can't buy satisfaction in life. A lot of people had stuff, but they weren't satisfied. I was amazed at, you know, studying and just reading about people that hit it real big, got wealthy, and it turned, man, it was wonderful, and they died. No time. Never enjoyed it. Never enjoyed it. Reading today, studying for this message, a preacher was writing, and he said, I don't know how many times I've stood in a home of somebody, and they had a $50,000 pool in the backyard they never got to swim in. Hey, there's things you just can't get with money, all right? And the Bible admonishment, the charge that is given to us is, hey, don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's the wrong place to put your trust. Instead, notice what he says to them in verse 18. He said, what it is, you charge them that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, ready and willing to give. He said, what? Whatever's needed. Whatever's needed. There's where you ought to be rich, in good works, all right? Hey, if you really want to enjoy what you have, then what you need is a good relationship with God. If you really want to enjoy what you have, you need a good relationship with God. Because if you've got a good relationship with God, then you can really enjoy what He's given you to enjoy. But if you don't, you spend all your life worried about keeping it, all right? I want to hoard it up. I want to be careful about it, all right? I want to be constantly going over it. Hey, listen, don't do that. The Bible says here what you need to do. You exhort those people. You charge those that are rich. You tell them they need to be rich. They need to do good. They need to be rich in good works. And can I say this to you? You and I can do that regardless of how much money you've got. But I dare say it's always amazed me of how the wealthy don't give. It's not wealthy people that give really and support charities. It's working people. Working people. I'll never forget, and if you get offended, I'm going to call a name, okay? This is years ago, they were talking. I don't even know what brought it up, but I heard on television they mentioned Jesse Jackson, I hesitate to use the word reverend, but that is what he's called, all right? Jesse Jackson, and they were talking about how much he had given to charity that year. And they talked about he made over a six-figure salary. I don't remember what the salary was, a lot more than I made. And that's fine. I'm not jealous of that. But I got to thinking, that's what he gave. I gave more to church than that rascal gave. And if that was all of his giving, he didn't even tithe off of what God gave him. But you know, I learned a long time ago, it's not rich people to give. It's working people that have a heart that'll give. That'll give. Oftentimes, extreme wealthy people, what they will do is, well, I'll lend you my name for your activity. Well, ring a ding ding, all right? How about digging in your pocket, bub, you know? But it's just amazing how that is, all right? Hey, listen. The wealthy, they want, if they're wise, they'll give to missions. They'll support their local church. They'll help publish Bibles and gospel tracts. Hey, the truth is you can't take a dime with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead. You've heard it said many times, well, how much did he leave? Same thing you will. Everything. Every bit. That's what you're going to leave. I don't care how much you have. Maybe you'll work it out perfectly. And the day you die is the day you spend your last dime. Hey, if you can work it out perfectly like that, that's okay. But you're going to leave the same thing that J. Paul Getty left when he died. That John D. Rockefeller left when he died. Because they left it all. They left it all. You can take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can send it on ahead. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. He said that they need to do good and you know be rich in good works. And he said in verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Oh, listen, never forget, there is a time to come. There is a time to come. It's coming for every one of us. But many, if not most people in the world today, seem to think life is only about right here and now. Right here and now. But man, it's not. Now, I want you to know I have a good time right here and now. When I'm in Walmart or I'm at the grocery store and they say, how you doing? I always tell them, man, I'm having a time. I'm just having a big time. You know, I'm just having a big time. Life's enjoyable. If I'm at Walmart, I say, what could be better than shopping at Walmart, you know? And just the thrill of being here. Now, they think I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. Hey, it's good to be there, all right? It's good to have enough money to buy something from Walmart. All right, no problem there. But this is not all there is to life. It doesn't end here. Yeah, there's a day coming if the Lord doesn't return that day's going to come and your physical life here is going to end. But it's not the end of you. There is a time to come, all right? There is another day coming. Amen. One thing in life we ought to do right now in this life is prepare for that life that's coming. And Paul's telling Timothy, you tell those rich folks there is a time to come. They need to realize you may be living it up right here, but how's it going to be when that time to come comes? All of us need to prepare for it, all right? We need to send on ahead. We need to have a relationship with God. So when we meet Him, it's not, well, I hadn't heard from you in a long time. How sad, right? How sad. Oh, mercy. So Paul tells Timothy, you charge this crowd. But then he turns around and he gives Timothy a challenge. Would you look there in verse 20? He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. He said, Timothy, there's two things now you need to be sure you do. He said, you need to keep some things, all right, and you need to avoid some things. And boy, can I say this to me and you? I'm not a pastor, but you have been given some things. You've been entrusted with some things. To be honest, that's about as simply stated the fact of stewardship as it can be. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. There have been some things given to you. Timothy had been given some duties. He had had some responsibilities. He had some possessions. There were some things that had been put upon him and given to him. And Paul's telling him, Paul said, Timothy, you hang on to those things. You keep them. You keep them. Take care of them. Because God has entrusted you with them. God's entrusted you. Listen, I'll be honest with you. God's entrusted us with some things. He's entrusted us with some things. Maybe it's your intellect, your smarts, your brain. God's entrusted you. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Filling it with all kind of garbage? Are you using it? You know, I mean, how are you taking care of what God's entrusted you with? Man, there's so many applications here, there's no way we'd cover all of them. Let me just throw a few of them out there, all right? He's entrusted you maybe with a Sunday school class. He's entrusted you with a Sunday school class. I was really taught when I was young that I was sort of to be the pastor of that class. Now, I didn't pastor them, but I was to love them like a pastor would. And I was to care for them, and I was to instruct them, and I was to teach them, and I was to go after them if need be. And so that's what I've tried to do. I'll never forget telling Brother Smart, I hope you don't mind me saying this, I'll never forget telling him one time I was visiting him and I'd visited him and I said, hey, Brother Smart, you came to the wrong church. So this preacher's going to come after you. You remember me telling you that? Yeah, I did. I did. Brother Jesse West, now pastoring in Durant, Oklahoma. Hey, I just kept going. He was in my Sunday school class. I kept going. Kept going. Why? Because I wanted him. Wanted to reach him. Hey, listen, you've been given a Sunday school class? Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Maybe you've been given a family. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep it. As a pastor, I've been given a congregation, a group of people. I need to keep that. Been committed to my trust. Hey, you've been given the truth. You've been given the truth. You've been given the truth of this book. You need to keep it. You need to keep it, all right? And maybe there's some other position you've been given. You need to take care of that. You need to, you say, what do you mean to take care of it? Well, don't give it up. Don't throw it away, all right? Don't let it be destroyed. Stand for it. Protect it. Defend it. Provide for it. Those are our responsibilities. Whatever God's entrusted you with, you're to be a good steward. Good steward of it. You got a talent. I'll just pick on people, okay? Brother Matthew here, God's given him a talent on the trumpet. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Don't go take it down and use it in a honky-tonk and a dance band. Don't do that. Now, you say, is he thinking about that? I hope not. I don't know he is, all right? Don't put words in his mouth. And I'm just, hey, I've watched it. I've told you there's a guy named Darren. Can't remember what his last name is. But I remember when he was in, we had, last Friday, we had the music festival for our athletic conference right here. I remember being in there when, at the music festival, when there was a guy named Darren there. Talented, oh my soul. Boy, was he talented. The last time I heard his name, it was on the billboard advertising his appearance at Billy Bob's. Let me tell you, God didn't give him that ability to do that with it. God didn't bless him with that so he'd entertain drunks, okay? That's not why he was given that talent. Hey, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Keep it, man, use it, develop it. Got an ability, use it, keep it, work on it, all right? That's our responsibility. You got that? Hey, but not only keep some things, but there's some things you need to avoid. That's the reason a lot of people don't keep what's committed to their trust. Because they don't avoid some things. And instead they get distracted. They get confused. They get befuddled. They get turned aside. They get busy with unimportant things. And those things cause them to fail to keep what's been entrusted to them. Why? Well, we get turned aside from it. We forget about it because we get occupied over it with something else. Now notice what God told Timothy for him to avoid. He said, avoid profane and vain babblings. Hey, profane stuff is just stuff that's wicked, okay? It is just wicked things. Vain babblings. It's empty, fruitless words. Just junk. Stuff that's a waste of time. Hey, gossip would fall in that category. There's so much out there. I have never in my life watched an Oscar presentation night on television. Never. Because there's nothing I could care less about than who wins the Oscar. I mean, who cares? But the other night, there was an incident there that occurred. And man, that's all people are talking about. I go, who cares? The only people that really ought to care is the one that did the hitting and the one that got hit. They're the ones that ought to care. Amen. What difference does it make? I mean, really and truly, what difference does it make to me and you what they did? Man, it's none of my business. I can't stop it. If I knew him personally, it'd be too late, all right? Well, what in the world? But that's consuming. It's consuming hours on talk radio. It's consuming hours on television programs. And the whole world's up in awe. I mean, I go on YouTube to entertain myself, all right? And I can't believe how many things on there. You can sit here, you can sit here. Who cares?
Amen.
Why do we worry about that? You talk about vain babblings. There it is. Yaggity, yaggity, yag. And, you know, I listen to talk radio sometimes. Sometimes it's informative, but a lot of times it is just that. It's talk. It is just talk. And I was tuned in, I think it was yesterday, and the guy started on that. I go, man, a lie, poop, you know. Who cares?
Do you want to call in and give your opinion?
What difference does it make what you think about it? You know, I think you should have hit him on both sides. No, you know, I don't know. I'd have no opinion, okay? But vain babblings. There's so much goes on, all right? There is so much said that the world would be better off if it wasn't said. I wrote in my notes here, it says, if most of what is said wasn't said, we wouldn't miss it.
Amen.
We wouldn't. It is just vain babbling. He said, why in the world would Paul tell Timothy to avoid that? Because it takes up valuable time.
Right.
Takes up valuable time. It distracts us. It distracts us. Sometimes it'll confuse you. Don't let that happen. But then he said you need to also avoid the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Hey, to be honest, science become the magic gimmick today for the media, the government, and education. It is the magic gimmick. I mean, you know, how many times in the last year and a half have you heard, follow the science? Why would I want to do that? Hey, listen, a lot of what passes for science is falsely so-called. And it has become the great God of our world. And the world wants to bow down and worship at the feet of science. But I'm going to tell you, it's science, falsely so-called, that attacks the Bible. Attacks the Word of God, every bit of it. It's that falsely so-called science that tells you man is the measure of all things. Let me tell you, man's not the measure of anything, all right? Just nothing. We are insignificant. I'm like the psalmist when he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Man, why do you even pay attention to us, God? I'm glad he does.
Oh, yeah.
But man, why does he? Science says we don't need God. Listen, the whole theory of evolution is out there so we can do without God. We can get rid of God. We don't need God. Everything's here. God here on its own, accidentally. Nothing involved. No one else, you know. There was just a long time ago the current a theory. Now, they don't call it a theory anymore, but I've been around long enough. I was in school. I remember when it was the nebular hypothesis. He said, what is that? It's not worth wasting your time on, okay? But basically, it said everything was a big dust cloud, and it started spinning. I don't know who was stirring it, that they never said, but it started spinning, and the particles, they began to clump together, and boy, amazingly, some of those clumps became suns or stars, and some of them became planets. Well, that's not the deal. Now we've changed our minds. Science, hey, by the way, that was science then. Science now tells, oh, no, it's the Big Bang. The big thing, well, you know, years and years and years ago, all that's in the whole universe was down about the end, crammed into a very, very dense, about the end of that ballpoint pen. And something caused it to explode. And everything went every way, and you know, the bigger pieces became this, and hey, if you want to, have at it, but don't tell me that's science. I remember being in school where they gave us the definition of science. And it talked about being stuff you could observe,
yes, sir,
and test,
yes, sir,
and prove.
Exactly.
Not science. Hey, but it's science today that says they won't need God.
Right.
It's science today that says the Bible's not historically accurate. Hey, by the way, you said, what science? Well, archaeology and paleontology and all of those other ologies.
Yep.
Well, the Bible's not, you know, we don't find any, you know, it just, I love it when they keep digging around somewhere, you know, and all of a sudden something shows up. And say, well, that's what the Bible says. Well, it was true before man figured it out, okay? And it will be. It will be. Hey, listen. Mark it down. There's no real disagreement between real science and the Bible. There is no disagreement. Now, you can take science if you want it. I'll take the Bible. Every time. Every time. I'll take the Word of God. One mistake we better never make is to trust riches over God, are over our stewardship of those things that are entrusted to us. Oh, listen. God, through Paul, gave Timothy a charge. That charge is good for us to remember today. And through Timothy, he gave Timothy a challenge. That challenge is good for us today. Hang on to some things and avoid some things. I'm going to hang on to the heritage that I've got. I'm going to hang on to the truth of this book and everything that's in it. You just look, I went to college. I went to a secular school. I've got a diploma from a state university. I heard the garbage. I was taught the stuff. But I just sat there going, you dummy. You believe that? Literally. You know, literally, I sat in the class in the history of Judaism where that professor had the gall to tell us that the children of Israel crossed the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea. I heard him, I go, really? And all those Egyptians drowned in 6 inches of water. Amazing. Amazing. Amazing how that worked. I was there when they said, well, when they crossed the Jordan River at flood stage to get into the promised land and going in to conquer Jericho, they said what happened is, you see, the Jordan River was prone to its banks caving in sometimes, and the banks caved in and it cut off the flow of water. What a perfect time for that to happen. Just so happened, it took place when the feet of those priests carrying the ark touched that water. All of a sudden, the bank caved in. Listen, you can believe that if you want to, okay? I just be honest, I don't have that much faith. But I got faith in a God that can do what he says he does. And by the way, I've seen him do it. Seen him work. Hey, you take that stuff, not me. I'm going to keep what's been entrusted to me. As long as I can live and as long as I'm able to preach, I'm going to preach this Bible is true, and science can go take a flying leap, okay? They're not going to change me. And you shouldn't let them change you. You shouldn't let them change you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help us. Lord, help us never lose our faith in the Word of God. Lord, to never get pulled aside by the theories and the ramblings of so-called science. Lord, help us to be dedicated to keeping the things you've given to us. That we'd hang on to them. We would protect them. We'd stand for them. We'd defend it if necessary. But Lord, we'd just not give it up. Not give it up. And Lord, help us to never make the mistake of trusting in uncertain riches. Lord, help us in our trust to be in the living God that made the heavens and the earth, and Lord, that's given us life and sent a Savior to pay for our sin. Lord, help us to keep our trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.